7:30 ESPN, ESPNLosAngeles.com. Coming up for you at the bottom of the hour, Kia Motors Lakers Shootaround Show, Lakers versus Clippers at Staples Center tonight. We'll hear from both Phil Jackson and Baron Davis on our Kia Motors Lakers Shootaround with tip-off at 7:30 over at Staples Center.
And joining us right now is the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, who you will have a chance to see on stage with Sandy Koufax coming up at the end of February. Joe Torre is our guest. Hi, Joe. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, guys.
Wow, this is what a great treat this will be for fans in the area. I know you know Sandy a little bit. Surprised that he agreed to sit down and talk in a format like this?
You know, in a way I was, because he's so private. And I know when T.J. Simers, who's going to host this thing like he did a couple of years ago with Wooden and Vin Scully, he said to me, what about you and Sandy Koufax? I said, you know, I'm fine. I said, but, you know, Sandy's pretty private. I said, I will call him and ask him. And I, you know, as soon as I told Sandy about our Safe at Home Foundation and the proceeds would be going there, and he says, I'll do it for you. He says, you know, I don't like doing this stuff. I said, yeah, I know that. And I about fell off my chair. I mean, it surprises you in some ways, and yet it's pretty consistent with how generous he always has been for me.
Joe, what does the Safe at Home Foundation do?
Well, our Safe at Home Foundation, and we just, really opened our office here a couple of days ago in Santa Monica. I grew up in a household that my dad abused my mom, never physically touched me, but emotionally, I had some scars that I carried over and became a very shy young man and really didn't have a great deal of self-esteem. I was just very lucky to have the talent to play baseball, and I was able to hide out there. And, if I had a good day, I really felt worthy. Otherwise, I felt I let people down. So it took a seminar back in 95 with my wife, who was 8 months pregnant, actually almost 9 months pregnant with our daughter. She said, you want to go to this seminar? I said, sure. You never said no. She's 8 months pregnant. I'm not about to say no to her. And all of a sudden, I found myself after 2 or 3 days standing in front of perfect strangers talking about my feelings, which I never really shared with anybody. When we started our foundation in 02 in New York, I wanted to do something in my mom's name. She's no longer with us. She passed away back in 74. Allie, my wife, suggested, why don't we do something in education? So what our Safe at Home Foundation does, among other things, but what we do is we open safe rooms for school in schools, and we call them Margaret's Place in my mom's memory. And we provide a counselor. We have peer groups. And I know when I grew up, I never shared this, even with my closest friends, what was going on in my house. And so we have the availability in New York right now. We have 13 Margaret's Places, and hopefully by this fall we can open up 2 in the L.A. area, because it costs us over $100,000 a year to put one of these in a school. So it's a place where these youngsters will get coping skills about dealing with this. They could take it, they can't take it home and says, Joe Torre told you can't do this. You know, that is not that simple. But I think the biggest thing is they realize it's not their fault, and they're not alone. And it really helps a great deal with these youngsters. I know we had one young man who started going to a Margaret's Place, and he was of a mind that he wanted to join a street gang. And after 3 or 4 visits to Margaret's Place, he was looking at college, college education. Mm. So it's working. We're very proud of it, and we're excited about the possibility of being as successful out here as we are in New York so far.
We're talking to Joe Torre, the manager of the Dodgers. Joe, along with Sandy Koufax, will be on stage on February 27th at the Nokia Theater at LA Live. Tickets are available through Ticketmaster at Ticketmaster.com. You can charge by phone there. For more information, you can also contact Jennifer Lynch at 213-742-7166. Joe, Sandy pitched in an era, and you played in this era for the most part too, where, you know, it was right before television kind of took over sports. So I think there is a whole, legion of fans who have no idea how dominant and how good this guy was. Talk a little bit about Sandy and if he was pitching today, how he would be received and as the dominant pitcher he was in his era.
Well, I feel very fortunate. Yeah, it was before free agency when both of us played, but I feel very fortunate to have played in the era where you had Koufax and Drysdale, even though at the time I didn't feel so fortunate having to face them. And Gibson and, of course, Tom Seaver and guys like that. Sandy was so dominant in a five-year period, because I know it was, you know, you talk about years ago how baseball owners controlled everything. Sandy was given a modest bonus back in the early 50s. And if you were given, I think, a $20,000 bonus, which was trying to, dissuade major league clubs from spending that kind of money.
Right.
You had to stay at the major league level for 2 years instead of going to the minor leagues. And Sandy really, his development was retarded, basically because, he had to sit in the bullpen and pitch in games that were out of hand one way or the other, because he was a guy who was gifted with a great arm, could throw the ball hard, didn't always locate it very well. And then all of a sudden, I guess it was in 1959, 60, right in that area, started coming into his own, and for a five-year period was unhittable. I mean, he would beat you 1-0. And you'd think you were losing 10-0, because that's the kind of dominance he had with his two pitches, curveball, fastball. One would start real high and finish in the strike zone. One would start real low and finish in the strike zone. And it was pretty remarkable, because if you think back, and I know you guys are probably a little bit too young for this, but in 1965, when they beat Minnesota in Game 7, he pitched that game, pitched 9 innings on 2 days rest, and only used his fastball.
Wow.
Gives you an idea.
Wow.
Yeah, really. But we talked about fastball because we became friends after we both stopped doing this stuff. And I never realized, I knew we had known each other and we had, socialized somewhat. But, we've stayed in touch. I know one thing, when I got to my first World Series with the Yankees in 96, and I walked into my clubhouse at Yankee Stadium, the first telegram on the pile was Sandy Koufax. And when I left the Yankees after the 2007, he was the first guy to call me to cheer me up, so to speak. So we've had a nice relationship. And I think that night on the 27th of February is going to be pretty special, because he's got a lot to offer. Aside from the ability to play baseball, he's a very cerebral individual and still gets excited about the prospects of playing this game. But he was remarkable in how dominant he was. I hit two home runs off in my career. Neither one of them had an impact on the game. I can tell you that right now.
Right. Joe Torre is with us, manager of the Dodgers. And again, he will be part of this event along with Sandy Koufax and TJ Symers. February 27th at Nokia Theater here at LA Live. All the proceeds will be going to Joe's foundation, which is called Safe at Home. And one of the most everything, I got to meet Sandy a couple of times at Dodgertown in the 90s, but most everything I know about him comes from the phenomenal book called A Lefty's Legacy, which was written by Jane Levy, which I think, if I remember right, you participated in that book. Didn't you, Joe?
Yeah, I think I was quoted a couple of times. The interesting part about that book, it wasn't something, if you notice, Sandy didn't get quoted a lot other than from other sources.
Yes.
But he never kept her from writing it. In other words, it wasn't something that, was his biography, but it was something that he allowed to be written. And I know I talked to him about it. I thought it was a great book. And because to me, she talked to enough people that knew Sandy well enough to give you a real good feel of what this guy was like. And, you know, I was very pleased the way that book came out.
Joe Torre, the manager of the Dodgers, is our guest. And as we're talking about a night he's going to do with Sandy Koufax on February 27th, hosted by TJ Simers. This is identical to the Vin Scully John Wooden event that was held in June of 2008. Proceeds from this will all go to Joe's Safe at Home Foundation. Tickets available through Ticketmaster. Joe, let's talk a little Dodgers here. How concerned, or are you concerned at all, that the ownership divorce could have an effect on the on-field product?
Well, I think we're concerned. I still think that the core of the ball club, and now you can see it coming together, signing Kemp and Billingsley, and you know, we treasure these young kids so much, but you know, we all know how important pitching is, and we all know that our division last year took a giant leap. When you look at Colorado, and of course, you know, Arizona had a lot of injuries, and they're going to get healthier this year. The Giants are certainly improved, and their young pitching, Lincecum winning the Cy Young a couple of years. So our division is going to be a toughie this year. So we're concerned. You know, Randy Wolf, who did a great job for us, is not going to be back with us. Hopefully we can add a starter from outside the organization, either through a trade or a free agent signing. But, you know, I think we're going to find out how good we are in a short period of time when we get to spring training. We know we have some great arms coming down there. We know what Kershaw did last year, and we know how Billingsley was, you know, certainly disappointed in what he did the second half, but I think a lot of it had to do with some leg issues that he had. But, you know, it's going to be a tussle. You know, our strength last year was our bullpen, and hopefully that remains intact. And I still feel that if we can put four starters out there that can give you a chance to win on a regular basis, that we're certainly not going to back away from our responsibility of trying to repeat again.
Joe Torre is with us, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Steve Mason, John Ireland, 710 ESPN, ESPNLosAngeles.com. Joe, I remember the eve of the NLCS when the divorce announcement came down, and I wondered if it would have an effect at all on what happened on the field. How much of an effect did it have?
No, I don't think it had an effect on the field. Really, it really doesn't get to the players, you know, especially when you're in postseason. You know, you have things that you're so locked up in with our, you know, trying to beat the Phillies again, that, you know, we certainly took notice of it because a lot of the media people would ask about it, but I don't think it affected anything. You know, of course, over the winter with everything that's going on and the question whether, you know, we're going to be able to spend enough money to get our ball club where we need it to be, you know, that remains to be seen. You know, I still like to take our chances with the young kids we have, but hopefully we can add another body in that rotation that'll certainly, you know, make up for the loss of Randy Wolf. But I don't think when the announcement was made, it really had any effect on what we did.
Hey, Joe, I'm a huge Chad Billingsley fan, and you know, I've watched him pitch, and he's got unbelievable stuff, and it just seems like he's not quite there. And obviously, you come to avoid arbitration with him today. Ned was able to avoid arbitration, which is a good thing. What's he missing? How close is he to finding that next level?
Well, you know, I think Chad, and I agree with you. I mean, he's got a great heart. He's not afraid. I think sometimes, you know, you just have to just wait for young players to just have that light bulb go off and realize you don't have to strike people out. You don't have to throw extra hard when you get a lead. Because if you remember early in the year, even though he had some good starts, he let some leads get away from him. He tries to, I talked to him about this. It looked like he's away from contact, you know, instead of going after people. But again, that's a learning thing. I had that with Pettit too early on when I was with the Yankees. He got to the point where he was trying to get call strikes instead of making them hit the ball. And I think once Bills understands that even if they know what's coming, if you make a quality pitch with it, it doesn't really matter what the ability he has. So hopefully last year and the fall of the year before, it's all going to contribute to you know, his improvement this year.
Joe Torre is our guest manager of the Dodgers on 710 ESPN. Last thing for me, Joe, I know you guys have been able to make it to the NLCS 2 years in a row, and that's a really hard level to maintain. If there's one thing you're most concerned about as you try and go back to back to back here, is it pitching? Is it just the health of your team? Is there one thing that when you go to sleep at night, you think that's what we got to fix first and foremost?
Pitching. I didn't always feel that way. The late Rube Walker, who was my pitching coach, when I was with the Mets and with the Braves, he certainly let me understand how important it was to have pitching. Pitching is the only way you can control a game, pitching and defense. And our defense was so good last year in comparison to what it was the year before. The thing that concerns me somewhat is last year, if you look at our record, I don't know exactly what it was when our number five starter pitched. It was excellent. And considering how many different number five guys we had, that was very lucky for us to win that many games from that spot without having the one guy be a number five guy. So, the pitching is definitely a concern. It's something that, it's unfair, I think, for us to count on Kershaw to repeat what he did in the second half last year because, this kid's going to be huge, and he had a huge second half for us, but I don't think it's fair for us to count on that because of his age at this point in time. But, you know, pitching. Our bullpen is so important for us because we have such depth there and some ability and a lot of ability. So if we can just keep the bullpen intact and get the quality six innings out of guys, I don't think there's any reason why we can't contend again.
Last thing, Joe, we've heard that you're moving towards potentially an extension with the team. How confident are you that you'll be the manager past 2010?
Well, you know, the thing I'm excited about, guys, is the fact that I even consider doing that because I'm 69 years old, and I already told somebody I wasn't going to manage past 60, so I've lied for 9 years now. But you know, that it's still very satisfying. I'm grateful and thankful that I feel healthy enough and have the energy to do this. I have a great coaching staff that does all of the physical stuff. But I'd like to stay involved. I really enjoy working with Ned. He's a class act, and he knows what the heck he's doing. So I'd like to, whether I manage or not, I'd like to, be a part of this organization.
Well, that's good news for Dodger fans. Again, the event is Koufax and Torre, Safe at Home. It's coming up February the 27th at Nokia Theater at LA Live. You can get Ticketmaster for tickets, Ticketmaster.com. And there are a bunch of very cool exclusive VIP dinner packages that are available. For details on that, you can contact Jennifer Lynch at 213-742-7166. Not to be missed. On stage together, Sandy Koufax and Joe Torre. The only downside is that TJ Simers is going to be there too.
We'll try to overshadow that problem.
I'm sure you will have no problem whatsoever, Joe.
We will read him the riot act, right? But he's a friend of ours, Joe. We'll make sure he behaves himself, but I don't know if we have that much control.
Yeah, he doesn't really care who has control. That's the funny part of it.
That's for sure.
All right. Well, you sound good, Joe. We're glad to hear you sounding upbeat, and we look forward to seeing you on the 27th. Thanks much for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Looking forward to it.
All right, Joe Torre.
And boy, that's amazing. He's 69.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't
that's
come
crazy.
Across that way, does that, it?
No, not at all.
He's
not
5 years
all.
Older than Phil.
Yeah, and travels to twice as many games every year.
Sure,
which is hardcore, man. 710 ESPN, ESPNLosAngeles.com. Steve Mason, John Ireland, joining us right now. The point guard for the Los Angeles Clippers as they get ready to take on the Lakers again at Staples Center. This time, a home game for the Lakers. Baron Davis online. Hey, Baron, how are you, man?
I'm great. How's everything, fellas?
We're doing great, Baron. Not as good as you. You've been lighting it up left, right, and sideways. And before we get going to talk to you about basketball, how is Medea doing? For people who don't know who Medea is, that is Baron's grandmother, who I think turns 90 this year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and she, I got to go, when I did a magazine article on Barron, I got to go hang out with her in South Central. One of the nicest ladies I've ever met. Barron gives her a hard time all the time, and it's very fun now, to watch the dynamic.
Now, Barron, let me ask you, is she anything like Tyler Perry's Madea?
Yeah, I mean, minus the pistols and going to jail and all that.
the you know what Barron calls his grandma?
Huh.
Old lady.
Oh.
Which I think is great.
It's what you call your wife, John.
Yeah, no, not if I won't want to get punched. Barron, one of the things that a lot of people worried about was when you guys got off to that slow start at the beginning of the year, that this was going to be the same old Clippers. You then kind of found your stride. What changed between the start of the season when you were struggling and kind of over the last 3 or 4 weeks when you've put it together?
Well, I think first and foremost is, you know, we all have to get familiar with each other. You know, once again, we're a new team, you know, with a totally new roster. And I think that it just took a while for our talents to kind of come together and mesh. And then on top of that, you know, being plagued with, you know, those injuries at the beginning of the season, you know, really limited us from reaching our potential early.
Barron, how big a blow is it that Blake Griffin will not be able to return this year, that he's going to have season-ending surgery?
Oh, that's devastating. You know, for a young guy, the number one pick, you know, he's our franchise. And not only that, but, you know, he was our heart and soul in practice. You know, even in the preseason games, he was our hustle guy, our energy guy. And he just did all the little things that really, you know, pushed us over the top. And once he got hurt at the beginning of the preseason, I thought that took a lot out of us. And it was hard to replace what he brought to the table because there was so many of the intangible things that he did out there on the court.
We're talking to Barron Davis, who has been ripping it up lately for the Los Angeles Clippers. Barron, when I say ripping it up, you almost beat the Lakers by yourself. The other night in Memphis, you had a triple-double in the first half. What are you eating for breakfast, man? What's gotten into you?
I've just been, resting and dieting and making sure that I get to the gym, working with Coach Lucas every day. You know, we get to the gym and he works me hard, you know, doing a lot of conditioning drills, a lot of shooting stuff, and you know, my confidence is picking back up. I wanted to be healthy this year. I started off the season with a slight ankle sprain, so I was kind of, you know, hindered from doing a lot of things. But now that I'm feeling 100%, got my swag back, and, you know, I just want to be as aggressive as possible because I know my teammates follow my lead.
Barron Davis with us. Barron, you are playing as good as anybody in the West. The West is loaded with great point guards, great guards, period, between Kobe and Steve Nash and Brandon Roy and Tony Parker and Darren Williams. You're playing at an all-star level. Is it important, or maybe I should ask, how important is it to you that you would make the all-star team this year?
It's not important to me at all. You know, what's important to me is that we win. And we get to the playoffs. You know, I've been to the All-Star game. I made the All-Star game twice. It was a great accomplishment for me. But right now, I could care less about that. You know, give me the wins, and I'm happy and I'm satisfied. And let's get to the playoffs. That's all I want.
Barron Davis is with us of the Los Angeles Clippers. Steve Mason, John Ireland, 710 ESPN, ESPNLosAngeles.com. Clippers getting ready to take on the Lakers at Staples Center for the second time in a week here, a little over a week. You know, after you guys had rattled off wins over Portland, the Lakers, and Miami, I thought you had a really good shot of winning both ends of the back-to-back at Memphis and New Orleans. What happened?
You know, I think in Memphis what happened was that emergency.
the evacuation.
What did you think, Barron? We should fill people in on this. You guys were playing a game. You were well into the third quarter. You guys were playing well, actually, when this happened.
Yeah.
Then an alarm goes off in the building, but that's all you know. What were you thinking?
I was at the free throw line, and, you know, the guy in the basket, usually they stand up and, you know, they cheer and try to distract you from making a shot. And so they start standing up, and I was like, this is weird. They're not saying anything. And then when I shot the ball and went in, I was like, this is even weirder. They start running towards the exit. So I turned around, and the police was running off the court. The cheerleaders was running off the court. Half my team was, like, headed towards the locker room. I had no idea what was going on. So I looked up at the sign and said it was emergency evacuation. And, you know, the first thing you think of is, you know, there was a bomb, but I was like, why would they bomb Memphis?
Yeah, and did they tell you? What did they? When did you find out that it was a water main break, or did you find out at first?
When we all went to the bus. So both teams went to the bus, and they were saying that we were going to have to leave and go out the arena. And, you know, when you look out the exit, you know, there was water kind of flooding the parking lot, and that was a problem. So.
And when you guys, and when you guys returned from that, the complexion of the game had changed?
Yeah, it was just, you know, it really took a lot out of us. It was, you know, for some guys, a lot of guys on the team, you know, they watched, the first 48. So, they was, you know, afraid of, you know, what was happening. And, you know, it was just all kind of, it was like commotion and mayhem, and it was hard to kind of regroup. I wish we could have, you know, kind of settled down and regrouped and got back to the game. But, you know, I just thought that, you know, the delay took a lot out of us. And, you know, them being on their home floor, it was easier for them to kind of snap back into it, and it gave them an opportunity to gain some ground on us. But it was a great game. We had a great shot at the end, you know, to win it. And that's what we want to do on the road, is be close and try to have an opportunity to win at the end.
Baron Davis is our guest. And then, Baron, you went down to New Orleans. You played Chris Paul. You know, there's so many good – I mentioned some of the good guards in the league. To you, who – I mean, obviously you got to compete against these guys and play against them. But between Kobe and Nash and Paul and Parker and Darren Williams and Brandon Roy, whose game do you admire right now, the way they're playing and what they're doing?
Definitely Darren Williams. You know, I think he's the most underrated out of all the ones that you mentioned. You know, him as well as Steve Nash, you know, they're both playing, you know, phenomenal basketball this year. Kobe is Kobe, and he's the best player in the NBA. But I think Nash and Darren Williams have really been playing, you know, tremendous, and they both deserve the All-Star, you know, that All-Star selection, as well as Chris Paul. You know, Chris Paul is another great guard that's having a super year, and he's brought his team back and got them in the playoffs.
Baron, there's this idea out there that you and Coach Dunleavy don't always see eye to eye. What's your relationship with him like right now?
Well, Coach Dunleavy and I, we do see eye to eye, and I think the you know, that's just kind of like a big misconception. If you see us out there on the floor, you know, he's yelling at me, I'm yelling at him. That's just kind of like how we are. We speak loud. We like to yell. But, you know, we're always talking. We're always communicating. And I think a lot of times people kind of, they don't really understand, you know, the extent of our relationship. But we have a great relationship. And this year has been going great. You know, he's trusting me more. He's saying that, you know, I'm understanding the offense and the different things that, you know, it takes for us to be a very competitive team. And, you know, we're just working. You know, it was a work in progress. I thought last year it was tough because we didn't have an opportunity to get to know each other, you know, as people. And, you know, over the past summer, we, you know, went to lunch and, you know, caught up and had dinner and just really, you know, kind of formed a bond from a point guard and coach perspective. And I think this year is a good result of us, you know, really communicating well with each other.
Baron Davis is our guest. Baron, next up for you, the Lakers. Obviously, you grew up in Los Angeles as a Laker fan. To you, what's the difference between playing against the Lakers and playing against any other team?
Well, you're playing against the Lakers. You're playing against, you know, the team that you always dream that you play for, you know, a team that, you know, wins NBA championships. And, you know, for me, it's sort of like a dream come true. You know, that's like that moment, you know, as a kid growing up in your hometown that you know that you've made it to the NBA when you're, you know, either playing for or playing against the team that you've always rooted for your entire life. So, you know, for me, playing against the Lakers is always great. You know, it just takes me back to my childhood when I used to think that I was Magic Johnson out there at South Park Elementary. So, you know, it's great. It's great. It's a great opportunity for my family. I know that they're watching. And, you know, for the city of Los Angeles, you know, for me, it's like a homecoming being here. And to play against the Lakers is always special.
Baron, we always talk about how the Lakers can be vulnerable to quick point guards. You're one of those. Who on that Laker roster does the best job of defending you?
They all do.
You don't want to. You don't want to tell us. Yeah, which
that
one,
is
right?
A very smart yeah, answer,
they
Baron.
They all do. You know what? They're a great defensive, defensive team.
Well, people forget you're friends with Fish, right? You played with Fish for a year, so he's a buddy of yours.
A lot. No. Yeah. Derek Fisher taught me a lot ever since high school. Actually, you know, he's taken me under his wing ever since I was a high school kid at Crossroads when he was playing with the Lakers. So, you know, as far as the point guard position and just being a friend and a mentor, Derek Fisher has always been, you know, a big mentor in my life being here in L.A. So, you know, he knows my game well, and, you know, he does a great job guarding me, and so does the rest of the guys.
Baron Davis is our guest. Okay, BD, before we let you go, for those of you who don't know, Baron's one of the most worldly guys in the league. When I wrote that article about him, half the article.
You are, man.
We like,
Renaissance man.
You have a lot of varied interests. You own a production company, and you make movies, and you got IBeatYou.com. What's on your plate, man? What are you spending time doing when you're not, you know, I know like 17 hours a day you're thinking basketball. What are you doing with your spare time? What's on your radar right now?
Right now, just kind of enjoying time with my family. When I do want to do something kind of quirky and off the beaten path, I've been recording like these little viral videos that I've been posting up on YouTube, and you know, just doing fun competitions on IBeatYou.com with fans, and you know, just trying to have some fun. You know, basketball is, you know, serious, and it's something that, you know, sometimes you just kind of need a break. So on days off and things like that, I get away by recording these viral videos and posting them up on YouTube.
Baron, last thing for me. When I was a kid, I had two dreams. One was to be 6 foot tall. I ended up about an inch and a half short of that. The other was to be able to grow a beard, and I still can't do that, even though I'm 44 years old. I cannot do it. What's it like to have a beard, and what are the advantages of it?
Well, I tell you, it's great. You know, first and foremost, you can use it, you know, for so many different things. You know, you can use it as an airbag when you're cold at night. You can, you know, kind of warm up. My girl, she just warms up with my beard.
Did you really Twitter that beards, great people have beards, and you cited the fact that Abraham Lincoln had a beard?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It looks good, man. I gotta tell you, the Boom's beard looks good. Well, hey,
someday, Baron. Someday.
Yeah, keep dreaming.
Baron. Yeah, you know, I got a viral that I'm gonna be releasing. You know, I'm gonna be selling, some beards, pretty soon. So check out my latest YouTube video.
Right.
It's called it's an infomercial actually for Boom's beard. So
I'm gonna be able to buy a fake Baron Davis beard?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna wear do you already have them?
Yeah, we have about 10,000 in stock right
okay,
now.
Okay, I'm gonna put you on hold when we're done. If you get one to me, Baron, Friday night, I'll wear it on KCAL, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, right, if you get one to me, I'll just wear it.
Hey, good luck rest of the way, man. It's great catching up with you, and have a great rest of the season, okay?
All right, thank you, fellas.